You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is CBS Eye in the World. I'm John Batson with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The headline is stark. Drone that hit Israeli-owned tanker near Oman was launched from an IRGC base. An explosive-laden drone launched from the Iranian Revolutionary Guards as an act of provocation and destruction against a tanker off the coast of Oman requires attention. So we go immediately to our colleague Benoit Faucon of the Wall Street Journal to understand this story. Benoit,
thanks for having me.
We've heard the Iranian drones are very successful, according to the Russians in Ukraine. Is this unusual to use a drone in the Gulf like this? Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. Well, it's not unusual anymore for the Iranians to use their drones. As you remember, in Abqaiq in Saudi Arabia back in 2019, they shut down, you know, half of their Saudi production. Remember, the biggest crude exporter in the world. They were very, you know, quick to be back on foot, but it was a signal that they would use asymmetrical war with drones, you know, to disrupt economies in the region.
Tell us, what do you assess the significance, why they chose to launch it now, this Shahid drone at the oil tanker? It seems to be pretty conclusive, the evidence that it was an Iranian attack. Does this represent an escalation in your assessment?
It sort of is significant in terms of strategy. Remember, the regime at home is under heavy pressure. It is completely unable to tackle the dissent about the most fundamental element in the regime, which is the Islamic dress code. So it needs ways to it needs ways to detract attention from its domestic issues. And obviously attacking an Israeli, you know, own tanker is one of them. But you could expect other types of attacks in the regions and beyond.
So what we're understanding then, this is an entirely cynical act, not to damage the economy of Israel or to start a new offensive in the Gulf, but it's to do exactly what we're doing, make us talk about something other than the protests, I believe 60 days or more now, with no end in sight. The regime has not answered the protesters in any fashion, and they've started, I believe, either to condemn or to begin executions. What is the status of the protests in general? Has it changed in these last weeks, Benoit?
It's been extremely resilient, as in, you know, I've spoken to a lot of protesters in Iran, and the initial response they got was obviously being beaten up, being arrested or detained, in some cases being shot at with live bullets. And the impact is expected to be, well, now you're intimidated, you're at risk of losing everything, right? Your future, your freedom, potentially your life. So the hope from the Iranian government perspective was that it's going to, you know, deter protesters from going back in the streets. And that's not happened.
Malcolm?
The visit of the head of CENTCOM to Israel and meeting with his counterpart, General Kochavi, what is your sense of the statements that they made, General Kurila and General Kochavi, about new efforts, new coordinated efforts against Iran and the flight of the B-52 bomber again across the Middle East, accompanied by Israeli jets and other friendly countries from the Gulf? What is your sense now of the response? Are they looking at what's happening in the Middle East and trying to send a message to Iran, Or is this really preparation for potential response to Iranian aggression?
I think it's both. I mean, in the sense that you have to take precautionary measures, especially in a context where the nuclear, you know, talks are stalled, right? There's no progress. So everyone knows the alternative is that Iran will sort of, you know, potentially be more aggressive because it has no incentive immediately to, you know, to sign something with the West. So that would be anyway the situation right now because of the lack of progress on nuclear talks. But in addition to that, the need for the regime to, you know, attract attention elsewhere means there is a risk of more attacks and the drones that attack the Israeli-owned tanker. You know, so this combination means you really have an heightened risk in the region of Iranian attack.
Benoit, in speaking to well-informed people who are sympathetic to the protesters, I'm told that the ambition for the protesters is not to have certain restrictions lifted, but regime change. Is that accurate or is that too exaggerated?
Well, I think, first of all, you have a broad range of demands, you know. It is true, a large number of the protesters really want the end of the regime. And by the way, they don't call it necessarily, they call it the Khamenei, you know, that's really Khamenei's supreme leader who is being targeted, because in a way that, you know, evolution of the regime in the past, you know, few decades since he took over, has been to really lock the system and narrow the political space. So that's really, they want to get rid of him, but if they get rid of him, that means they're getting rid of the Islamic Republic as a regime. So that's true for a very large number of protesters. But you also have other issues. You have strikes that are in part related to the economic hardship of the country. You have dissatisfaction from, you know, ethnic minorities, both to the West and to the East. But if you sort of were going to have a common point for all these protests, it's true, they want to get rid of the regime as it exists. But by the way, it could be done in a very peaceful way. Remember, the Islamic Republic was instituted as a system for a referendum in 1979. There are calls among reformists to say, well, let's vote and decide whether we want an Islamic Republic or not. That would be a very easy way for the regime to somehow find a solution, but they don't seem to be ready for that.
Malcolm?
And the according to reports from the dissidents I spoke to in the last 24 hours, they said yesterday about 3 million people may have participated in 135 different cities, major cities, and the response of the demonstration seems to be more and more support. So I think your assessment is right. But can I ask you about the attack on the shipment or capture of the shipment of 360,000 pounds of urea fertilizer floating in the Gulf of Oman? A stateless Dow, supposedly. This could be very significant coming in as it is used for military purposes.
Absolutely, because in terms of context, remember, there was a truce, of course, the status of which is unclear now, but between Saudi Arabia and the, well, let's say, version of countries and the Houthis. And so if there is an increase in supplies from Iran to the Houthis, you can expect they're going to start using that, you know, these supplies against their neighbors. So it is a very worrying sign that could suggest the Houthis are going to, you know, going to go back on the warpath.
Ben,
but there's also the presence, if I may ask about the ammonium percolate that shows, which is used for rocket and ballistic missile. Does it mean they're escalating their missile projects in Yemen also?
Well, that could be a signal of it, but really the fact that there are elements in the Iranian regime that are sending, you know, a large number of supplies means that they are hoping that maybe the element, a more hardline element within the Houthi system, is ready to restart the conflict. So indeed, that's a worrying sign. There's another thing I may add here is that, you know, what people don't realize is if you are in IRGC crude force, the top rank, the best pay you can get is to be sent to Yemen and to Syria, and especially for missile assembly. So there's always kind of a professional bias to increase conflict from that category of members.
Benoit Faucon is London-based reporter for The Wall Street Journal, Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.